Welcome to the latest edition of the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast, brought to you by Qubit, the trusted experts in analytics. Our goal is to cut through the jargon and hype around analytics and data science and share practical advice to guide you on your analytics journey. You can find us at qubit.com, that's Q-U-E-B-I-T.com. Thank you for joining me today. I'm A.G. Tan. My guest today is Alan Hudson, who I first worked with 20 years ago when he was working in a high-tech dot-com company that was growing through acquisition by buying a company every week. I was the consultant helping him put together a system to support consolidated reporting in this very dynamic environment. Today, Alan is my colleague and a vice president of consulting services at Qubit, managing many projects and consultants. He's played a key role in Qubit's growth and success through the years. Welcome, Alan.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, AG. We've certainly come a long way in our career since then, right?
Yes, we have. One of your hallmarks as a consulting manager at Qubit is your resolute defense of the customer's best interest. So sometimes it leads to some, shall we say, interesting conversations, including with customers who may not appreciate how you are looking out for them. Ultimately, though, you've enabled many clients to be successful with analytics, and those clients tend to come back again and again. So here's my opening question. Tell us a little bit about the principles that guide you when engaging with a customer and how you help them understand how to get where they need to go. Of course, they have a rough idea. Maybe they need a planning system, but the devil's in the details, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, for me, a primary goal goes way, way back to my roots as a buyer in retail. I was a purchasing agent for a lot of categories in the store, but my favorite department was sunglasses. I'm pretty sure we carried something like 300 different styles or so. And one summer, sales started lagging a little bit, and my boss at the time looked at me in the eye and said, you know what, you've fallen in love with this department. You've forgotten to buy style for the user. You've forgotten who your clients are. And she was so right. And the basic lesson that I've carried forward since then is you have to understand the client. You have to understand the business problem that they would like to solve. And moreover, what style of solution will work for them. I'll pass along at least one other core reminder. And this one I got from a client, and you did a podcast recently about change, and change is hard. And so to mitigate that, we try to work very hard with making sure that people on the client's team know and trust that what we're doing there is we're doing something for them and not to them. And once they get on board with that, it helps them immensely with the change part. And it helps navigate through when you get to the difficult pieces of the project as well. So to answer your question, understand the business problem in terms of three categories. Some people know it as the three P's. Understand what's the process that needs help. Who are the people involved? Who will support that new process? And do those two things long before determining what the end product will be.
I love that answer. It's always nice to look back on a career and feel like you actually learned something along the way, isn't it?
It is. It's very nice.
And I think the trust aspect is really so important. And maybe I'll just hold that word and move into my follow-on question, which is, you know, the world is changing all around us, and maybe this is a time when, you know, trust is needed more than ever. And you and I have spent most of our careers in financial analytics and helping people get out of spreadsheets to build robust, detailed, and scalable models of their business to support decision making. So even though the fundamentals are the same, would you agree that expectations have changed as technology has moved to the cloud and artificial intelligence and predictive algorithms have become part of the everyday conversation? And how has this affected our customers?
Changing expectations is huge in this business. I have an unrelated but notable example for you. Last week, I read an article that came out of both Google and NASA. And I have to paraphrase here because I didn't understand the entire article. But it said that they have a new quantum processor, and they gave some numbers. It said it takes about 200 seconds to do a specific calculation. That's a minute and 20 seconds. And they said while a state-of-the-art supercomputer today would require approximately 10,000 years to perform the equivalent task. So my comment there is our expectations are set very high because we get news releases like that. We don't have flying cars yet either, but everybody's expectations are super high when it comes to computers. But to bring it back to your question, the key business process that we're most typically engaged with, right, is to help companies improve their internal, usually revenue and expense planning, and its accuracy, of course. And while expectations still remain what I would call a little bit ahead of our current technical reality, and we have more data than ever, we also have more tools to collect and analyze that data as well. And it's put us finally in a position where we can at least pull clients out of that manual data drudgery work. Expectations today, I hear a lot on the lines along the lines of, "Hey, show me a system that works." You know, like how I do my personal finances. I want to do that kind of thing in the office. And I've been given the example of like the Mint app recently. They'll say, "Hey, it's easy. I just want to tag items, I want to hit a checkbox, and I want it to spit out a budget and forecast for me." Those are the kind of expectations I hear on ease of use. Beyond the ease of use, though, clients are very much now getting on board with, "Hey, let's let the computer predict or forecast my sales, or at least my units for me, and I can figure out what the revenue is from there." And sometimes they'll add the reality to that, "Hey, it can't be much worse than all the time-consuming process my people go through. A lot of times the numbers are sandbagged in what we get in the output anyway."
Right.
But this is where we're engaging with clients and having some really enjoyable and often, I'll say, eye-opening conversations, because we can. And actually have some examples where we've shown that computer generated revenue, unit forecast, that kind of thing are much better than, certainly better than the more complicated Excel models we've replaced.
Right. No, absolutely. One thing that I really enjoy is when we can get customers out of, you know, frankly, just looking at the past. Like sometimes it's just so much effort to manipulate data to get to a point where you can understand what happened in the past, but there's no time or energy left for the really valuable thing that's possible now, which is to look at the future and anticipate different scenarios for the future and then, you know, make plans around that, right? And that's really what we want to talk a little bit more about today.
Yes, that's the exciting part.
So Alan, now that we've gotten the principles out of the way, let's talk about something specific. I know that you're currently involved with a client who hired us to help with financial reporting and planning. And on the surface, this looked like a pretty typical project, but it turned out to be a bit different. Can you tell us about it, please? Perhaps describe the business the customer's in and what they thought they were looking for help with?
Absolutely. This business is a pretty straightforward beverage distribution company. Their mission, you might imagine, is deliver the right beverages to the right retailers without over or understocking them. It's essentially their business problem is a delivery one, but complicated by transportation logistics, both on the incoming side and the outgoing side. And they came to us and asked for help with three traditional normal things. Help us increase our accuracy in the volume forecasts. give them a single interface to manage all of their planning related variables and the assumptions around those for all of their companies. Think of payroll, taxes, benefits, that kind of thing. They were entering that into, I think, 13 different spreadsheets, and they obviously want to just do that once. And the third one was automate the data flow from those planning models into their financial statements so they can get actual to plan variance reports really easily. Sounds pretty simple, right?
It really does. And it sounds like a classic, you know, all right, we want to get out of Excel sort of a situation. But it evolved, didn't it?
It did. So initial conversations, pretty normal, pretty traditional, general ledger level analysis conversations. The planning system, or system, I'll put that in air quotes, they had in place. Collection of reasonably sophisticated Excel spreadsheets. And their initial request was essentially replicate that process, but in a systemic way that would help them shorten both the process time, reduce workloads, and enable them to more easily find accuracy issues. But as we continued in the conversations, we found, first of all, that they had a treasure trove of historical sales and trend data across the last 5+ years at the product level. And as we dug into that a little bit, the project quickly evolved from what we might call a lift and shift out of Excel into a operational system. But we started to discuss adding computer-based sales units forecast because we had that data. And eventually we dropped the manual part of the forecast they were doing because our initial attempts at doing the unit forecast proved to be reasonably accurate. Now, I'm sure their process will continue to evolve. It'll continue to get better. But this project, I suspect, will very shortly be a case study in how we can not just meet expectations for clients who come to us with these kind of requests, but massively exceed them.
So when you say computer-based forecasting, you're really talking about using predictive algorithms to help generate a baseline volume forecast that would then feed into, you know, their all overall forecast. So I assume, you know, for example, if you have volume and you have prices, then you can calculate revenue and so on.
That's exactly right. And we focused on doing that with their unit forecast, because prices are for the most part set. And if they have price increases or decreases coming in the next 12 to 18 months, they already know what they are.
Right.
So we focused purely on projecting using Qubit algorithms what those sales would be.
Right. And I guess the advantage of doing it at the unit rather than the price level is that it leaves open the possibility of playing what if games with pricing, for example. Right.
Right. And that's one of the things that we will build in a phase two. We've already had those discussions.
Oh, that's great. Now, normally we sell traditional, you know, financial planning, analysis, and reporting solutions to the CFO. And then, you know, in Qubit's experience anyway, typically the predictive demand planning solutions, like the one you describe, is sold to someone over on the operations side as part of their sales and operations planning processes or the supply chain planning processes. And then we'll, you know, talk to the different parts of the company and give them a roadmap to bring these two things together. But in this case, it was the CFO who wanted the predictive forecasting early and quickly, right?
True. This case is one where the stars and moon aligned at just the right time. Qubit's CEO is involved in the sales process, the client's CFO involved in the process, and both of these gentlemen are both very passionate about what they do and visionary by nature. At a certain point, it actually amazed me how far and how fast the original big picture thought process was put into a plan and executed. The spirit and energy of the two of them passed through to both the teams on both sides, and it certainly made getting through some of the trickier pieces of this project much easier. I'm not saying that this project was a walk in the park by any means, but we did manage to produce a decent sized wow factor for the client.
No, that's great. I mean, it's really, and this could be a whole webinar in itself, right? The importance of leadership and vision, and then also a willingness to work together. And you know, I guess that gets back to the whole trust thing, right? That there was a certain level of trust that was built up as well that helped us through the rocky time.
Yes, it is. Trust is a key part of every project. I usually label that one engagement, and it's probably number one on my list of whether a project's going to succeed or not.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there are all sorts of analysts at places like Gartner and other analyst firms who have talked for a while about how predictive and artificial intelligence or AI is going to be key in the office of finance. So it's exciting to see it beginning to happen, you know, on the ground in our very own client base.
Yeah, expectations are high, getting even higher every day. Of course, ground level issues, engagement like we just talked about, and data quality remain an obstacle. But, you know, that said, we are currently applying qubit generated algorithms to predict and forecast sales, and have proven them to be successful today.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you, Alan, for all that. For the last section, I always like to leave our listeners with some advice or tips and tricks or lessons learned. So let me ask the question this way. Since it's clear that predictive and AI technologies are increasingly going to be part of the conversation for the CFO and for the Office of Finance in general, and I imagine that the prospect may be a bit daunting, especially if you're still, you know, struggling with Excel, do you have any advice to help our listeners make it less daunting or feel less daunted by it?
Yes. And you're right. Clearly, we're poised for a leap to another level here, especially in how we solve that business problem around generating business forecasts and plans. And I look at it in the recent past and think about the cloud solution and how that was deemed untrustworthy at first, but now generally accepted as an even safer and certainly more cost-efficient way to secure data and to distribute software. So in the same sense, we have to break through that distrust or fear factor. And our current approach is to do what we were going to do with the company we talked about earlier, which is, yes, we can do a computer-based forecast, but we will also replicate your own internal methodologies in the system, and you can do both and compare the two and get a good, safe feeling that that computer-generated numbers are going to get more accurate. Bottom line here, though, is our confidence is quite high that after a few forecast rounds of doing both, the computer will learn, the people will learn, and the computer-based forecast will definitely win the accuracy race.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is really about the computer helping people be better, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, yes, you can continue to do your forecasting the old-fashioned way, and then you can have the computer generate a predictive forecast, and then you can track how both of those forecasts do against actuals. But it's not really only about being right. You can also leverage it in a couple of ways. One might be to use the computer-generated forecast as a kind of a sanity check for the human-generated forecast, because the humans might know that there's, for example, a plan to do a major investment in some product line, which the computer-based forecast can't possibly know. And so a useful way to combine the two might be to use the computer-based forecast as your starting point or as your baseline, and then have the people modify it in the places where they know it needs to be modified for strategic investment initiatives and so on. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's very fair. And I'll pull on that a little bit further and say that it allows the computer to do the hard drudgery work and replace that, which I think we talked about earlier, and allows the humans to look at the results of the data and think through what it actually means, instead of them working on how to cobble all this data together, they actually get to spend that amount of time thinking through the scenarios like what you just said. What new products do we have? What old products do we have that we're going to eliminate that the computer doesn't know about? What products do we have that we're going to highly and heavily market next year that the computer doesn't know about? And so the people in the planning process actually get to use your brain a little bit more and think about this data and what it means, not just trying to get it pulled together at the last minute for the board meeting.
Yeah, because in the old way, there's no time left for analysis, right? You're spending all your time on cobbling data together. And so what we're talking about here is let the computer do the boring stuff and let's leverage the people to really add value. And that, I think, creates a whole new set of opportunities in terms of performance and competitiveness and being able to anticipate the future and adjust for those unexpected things that come your way, right?
Indeed. And the thing you mentioned about competitive and gaining competitive edge is certainly where this helps to pay off for the companies that we're working with to do computer-based forecast. It certainly helps in that area and certainly helps in making the employees a little happier in their jobs as well, because they get to do what you actually hired them for. To use their brains, not their hands in Excel.
You know, I think those are great closing words for this episode. Thank you very much, Alan.
Thanks for having me, AG.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Do you have anything you would like to ask Qubit about analytics? You can tweet us at AskQubit or email us at info@qubit.com. That's info@QUEBIT.com. Until next time.